Good evening. It's good to see the few of us that are here in the sanctuary and those of us that are online. We're going to start out by singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, 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 leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Next song, turn over there. This one's a challenge to turn to. Praise the Lord. All right, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen. All right, our next song is going to be Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Toils and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Last song this evening will be At Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty. That drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Free! Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, well, if you please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Here we go. All right. Okay. That feels pretty good. Bless y'all's heart. You're still wearing y'all. Y'all are still wearing y'all's. I feel a little bad, then I get over it pretty quick. Because it's so much easier to breathe without that thing on. My goodness. All right. Well, here we are. And good to see you on the live stream. We've got a few folks here with us in the sanctuary. Less than 10. We don't have any more than that. So probably less, what, 2, 4, 5? Yeah, less than 8. So there's just 7 of us here this evening. But good to see each and every one of you on the live stream. And we continue on. You know, this coming Sunday, we'll be back to in-person worship and live stream on the Sunday morning service. And next Wednesday night, we'll be in-person Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. So we're seeking this coming Sunday to kick it back off, so to speak, in person. And it is kind of a mandatory mask thing. And you say, well, preacher, you're not wearing yours, and I get that. I can't preach with it on. I've tried it a little bit. I've tried just talking with it a little bit on, and the sound is something to be desired. It really messes with the mic, and then I just... Man, I'd hyperventilate up here. I'd be laid out after about 10 or 12 minutes. So anyway, I would encourage you, unless you're in my core and team, in other words, you're in my family, I would just encourage you to sit like the fourth pew back. So they're marked off every other pew anyway. So if you're the fourth pew back, you're a good 15 feet from me, you'll be fine. If you've got your mask on and you've got a good safe distance from me, you should be fine. So anyway, that's starting back this Sunday. Sunday school literature goes out this coming Sunday. And then we've got Sunday school tentatively starting back on the 13th over in the children's church room in the Sunday school wing in the Sunday school building. So that's getting going. And what is it, the 21st? 20th. 20th is our members meeting. So financials will be going out this Sunday over the church and the school. We missed our meeting would have had it in May, so we missed that meeting because of the pandemic, all the COVID stuff. So we will have a members meeting on the 20th of September. Financials go out this coming Sunday, so hopefully you get your copy. And if you got any questions before the meeting, you can sure contact anybody on the finance team, and they'll be glad to answer your questions. Okay? Very good. Well, as we think about prayer requests tonight, I've got a few. Do you got any up there popping up on the computer there, Jeremiah? All right, we've got a few here for you. We're still praying for, I'll get it right in a minute, Lolly Jean over there at First Baptist North Houston, Brother Mike Westbury's church. And she is still, I haven't gotten an update from Brother Mike this week. As of last week, still pretty much unchanged. All her organs are functioning and working, they're just waiting for her lungs to come back and be able to do the gas exchange and all that stuff. So still on the vent. So I want to continue to pray for her. My friend who's out of state in the church I've been telling you about, I think I told you about the couple that were, you know, kind of making fun of people wearing masks. Both the husband and the wife came down with the COVID. I think I told you that last Wednesday. Maybe it was Wednesday before, something like that. Hadn't talked to my friend in a couple of weeks, my pastor friend. Talked to him today, I think I've talked to him twice this week, but anyway, he was telling me that lady that came down with the COVID, the wife, she teaches a ladies' Bible study. I hadn't talked to him in 2 weeks. He told me, you're not going to believe this. He goes, 12 ladies in a Bible study. 11 of them came down with the COVID. 11 of them. Not practicing social distancing. Thought this was all a big joke. Some kind of conspiracy. She had it. Was asymptomatic. Hadn't got the symptoms yet. Spread it to everybody in the class except for one person. One person didn't get it. One person. The most beloved senior adult lady in that lady's Bible study class, that's the one that ended up in the hospital. In ICU, not on a CPAP machine yet and not on a vent, but on oxygen. And you're talking about a church that's praying. I mean, they are praying that this lady would be healed. But that took that attendance of that church, it cut it 50% the following Sunday. Of course, I hadn't talked to him in 2 weeks. Following Sunday, after this had all, you know, come out in the congregation that, you know, these people have COVID. Now you've got 12 people, 13 people in your congregation with COVID. His numbers were whoo. So something to take serious, friend, and you don't know. 1 in 12 people, 1 in 10 people end up in the hospital, 1 in 10 people end up on a vent. I don't know, way above my pay grade, but it is, you're playing Russian roulette with your life, not practicing your social distancing and doing what you've been asked to do by those leaders that we've elected and have trying to help us through this. So anyway, we pray for that church out of state, my pastor friend. We'll write his name down in that ladies' Bible study class. I want to pray for them and pray that they all come through it. Amen? And wiser for it. Be wiser for it. Ladies' Bible study class. All right. Okay. And then we've got Brother Paul McCormick's brother, David McCormick, recovering from a stroke. And the request is that we please pray for his speech to come back fully. Right. Yeah, that's what we're praying for. All right, we'll be praying for that. And then this is from Lori. And Lori is asking for prayer for a co-worker. And her name is Azalyn. All right, Azzy for short. And it says here her cousin passed away. Listen to this. This is tragic. Her cousin passed away due to a short in a pool light. She was in a swimming pool. Short happened. Ended up taking her life. Please pray for Azalyn and her family during this time. And then Judy Strickland Platt, is that a friend of the church or former member? All right, Judy Strickland Platt, loss of her sibling. Please pray for my family as we grieve the loss of my sister Jackie. Although I'm saddened, it says here, I'm also thankful she's no longer in pain. From Trevor Lee, he's got a co-worker's daughter with COVID-19. Stephanie Lee, continue to pray for her Uncle Lynn. From Marilyn Davlin, says here, I have at least 3 pinched nerves in my neck and spine. I'm in quite a bit of pain, but I can barely walk these days. Will be so glad if I can get back to some normalcy soon. Doing physical therapy, so hopefully it will help. So we'll be sure to pray for Miss Marilyn tonight. Continue to pray for our school, the teaching staff, and the students and families. We heard tonight that our school enrollment is up to 41. So that is a great praise tonight, 41 students. I think we ended the year last year with about 31, 32, something like that. So that is a big increase, man. That's like a 20, what, 25%? Huh? 25%, something like that. Pray for our restart, a physical restart coming back to the sanctuary in church service at 10:45 a.m. this Sunday. And pray for all our church members, right? You need to be praying for one another, amen? Be sure to do that throughout the week as you think about the different prayer requests, different things you can pray about in the country, praying for the pandemic and all that stuff. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we lift these up this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for this great privilege and, Lord, this awesome opportunity to just worship you tonight. We praise you tonight, Lord. We're so thankful for the songs that we got to sing and, Lord, the theme of grace. And, Lord, we just praise you for your grace tonight. We thank you for that saving grace. Lord, we thank you for the grace that helps us in our daily lives. We thank you for the grace, Lord, that disciples us. Lord, it's by the grace of God that we are discipled and made more into the image of you, Jesus. So we're just thankful and blessed tonight and overjoyed tonight that we have received grace. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for all the love we experience, all the care and concern that you give us. And Lord, as we come to you this evening, we think about these that we have mentioned, and we think about these prayer needs and these burdens that people are experiencing. And Lord, we just want to lift them up to you tonight in a concert of prayer as we join our hearts together. Lord, we want to just pray, and Lord, we pray where we can't pray, that Lord, the Holy Spirit would just make intercession for us as we come to some of these requests and some of these things we think about. We just don't know how exactly to pray, but Lord, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would make intercession on our behalf as we seek to lift these things up to you and be faithful and be obedient and have a time of ministry through this awesome power of prayer. So Lord, with that said, we lift up Miss Lolly to you, Lord, and we're praying for her lungs. We're praying for the tissue in her lungs, Lord, and we're praying that the scarring would be minimal, Lord, and we're praying that you would just see this lady through, and we're praying your healing hand upon her, and that, Lord, her body would take a turn for the better, and she would be able to get off of the vent, perhaps go to a CPAP machine or just oxygen, Lord. We're praying that you would spare this lady's life. We pray for this family, Lord, that she has, and we just pray that you continue to strengthen them and be with them and see them through during this difficult time, as they're not able to be there in the room and they're not able to see her and touch her and all of those different things. Lord, we just pray for them. Pray a hedge of protection around them. And Lord, we pray for her healing. Lord, I do lift up my pastor friend to you out of state, and I pray for his church and the many challenges that he's facing, Lord. And Father God, I pray for this ladies' Bible study class. And Lord, I pray those that have been infected, the majority of them, Lord, with the COVID, that, Lord, this one lady in the hospital would be the only one that has to go to the hospital. And, Lord, you would spare this lady's life. You would bring her through. I thank you for the report I received today. It doesn't look like she's getting any worse. And, Lord, we pray that she doesn't. We pray that she makes a turn and begins to get better. And, Lord, soon, a few days from now, she even gets to get out of ICU and goes back to just a normal room. But Lord, we're lifting that situation up to you, and Lord, we're praying for that. We're praying for that Bible study leader who brought the COVID into the class, and Lord, we're just praying for her anxiety. We're praying for her worried heart, perhaps, and Lord, I pray that she would just seek you. And Lord, she would just intercede on behalf of her class. And Lord, through this, you would bring some kind of blessing, some kind of wisdom, Lord. You would bring some kind of a testimony out of this that would bring glory and honor to your holy and powerful name. Lord, as we continue on, we lift up David to you, David McCormick, and we continue to pray for his recovery from this stroke. But Lord, as his speech communication seems to be wanting to come back, and sentences every now and then are coming together, Lord, we just pray that you would help that situation, that you would help that brain, that you would, Lord, help those synapses, those connections, and Lord, you would just begin to bring things together and smooth things out in his communication and in his speech. And Lord, you would just help him connect the dots as he thinks and as he wishes to communicate his thoughts. And Lord, we just pray that these things will begin to flow more regularly, Lord, and just to flow with more of a smoothness and more of his old self before the stroke happened to him, Lord. We lift David up to you, and we pray you just continue to help him with that. Lord, we lift up Lori's friend to you who has lost a family member tragically from this short in a swimming pool light. Lord, be with that family as they deal with that tragedy. And Lord, I pray that you see them through, that you give them your grace that we sang about tonight. And Lord, they would just be the hands and feet of Christ to one another. And Lord, you would fill that loss in their hearts with your presence and with your love. And Lord, with your tenderness as they go forward, life goes on, as they go forward without this loved one who's been lost so tragically. We lift up Judy Platt to you, Judy Strickland Platt, and the loss of her family member. We ask, Lord, that you help them as they grieve the loss of this sister, Jackie. Lord, we're thankful with the family that she's no longer in pain. And Lord, better place. Lord, we're thankful for that. And Lord, we just pray you see that family through. We lift up Trevor Lee's co-worker's daughter with COVID-19, and we pray healing for her. We pray for Stephanie Lee's uncle, Uncle Lynn, and Lord, we pray for his comfort, and we pray for his peace as he is in the valley of the shadow of death. And Lord, I pray that you would just be present there with him, and Lord, that there wouldn't be that fear or that anxiety. You would just give him that peace that passes all understanding. We lift up Miss Marilyn Davlin to you, Lord, with the pinched nerves and the physical therapy. And Lord, we just pray that these old pinched nerves, one by one, would release as this physical therapy kind of does what it's supposed to do and things get back into alignment, Lord. And Father God, we just pray she not have to have any surgery, that the physical therapy would take care of it. And Lord, that she would get some pain-free days here in the coming days, in the coming weeks, here in the coming months. We lift up Miss Marilyn to you, Lord, and we pray for her and John, and we just pray that nothing else would come against them, come against their family at this time. Lord, we do pray for our school. We pray for all those area schools as they try to navigate the COVID. And Lord, Tomball and Magnolia getting ready to start back in person after the Labor Day holiday, Lord. And Father God, we just pray that you keep the kids safe and that they would take the social distancing and the mask wearing and all of the guidelines, the sanitizing of the hands and washing of the hands, Lord, they take it serious. They wouldn't bring it home to vulnerable family members. Lord, you just pray it, put a hedge of protection around all these different families, Lord, that are touched by these schools. Lord, we pray for the educators, Lord, that you'd keep them healthy and safe. And Lord, we pray that these next couple of months that we would just see in the midst of all this, the trend of cases and the trend of infection rate and all of that stuff beginning to go down. Lord, we know you're a powerful God. We know you're the God of healing. We know you are sovereign and in control. And Lord, we're seeking to pray in your will. And Lord, we pray that your will would be, or you would reveal your will to us, Lord, so that we can pray more accurately and better as we pray about this pandemic, pray about this COVID. But Lord, we're praying that lives would be saved and that the infection rate would go down as the testing increases. And Lord, I pray that there soon would be, Lord, there would be an immunity within the people of this nation as so many have come in contact with it. And scientists tell us that so many more have probably been exposed to it and not even known it. But Lord, we pray for our schools. We pray for this school. Thank you for our teaching staff. Thank you for Miss Sissy, our director. And Lord, we're thankful for the prosperity that you've given the school and the additional students. It's a responsibility, Lord. It's a great challenge. It's a ministry opportunity, Lord. But thank you for prospering the school. We pray you continue to grow it. Lord, 41 is a great number. Lord, we've always talked about having 50. And so, Lord, we're just 9 away. And that could happen. That could happen between now and the end of September with everything going on in our culture and the schools with all the COVID and everything. That could very well happen, Lord. So we just We're leaving that door open to you, Lord, and we're asking for a blessing. Lord, you say there's blessings in heaven for us, and we're calling out for one for our Christian school here and for our church. Lord, just put it on us. Put it on us, and we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due your name. Lord, we pray for this restart of our services here starting this Sunday. And Lord, we pray that it would be a blessing for those who attend, and it would be a blessing for those who watch on the live stream. And Lord, there would just be a spirit. We just have a sense that you're present with us. And Lord, we just have a sense that we're being washed by the Word. And we're being made into the bride of Christ. A beautiful bride, Lord. Thank you that we can come back together this Sunday and attempt to have in-person worship services again. Lord, we do lift up our church members, Lord, those that are struggling, those that are in need, those that are hurting. Lord, we pray you comfort and help and be with those who find themselves in great, great challenge at this time. Lord, we do thank you again for loving us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for your word tonight as we get ready to read it and study it together. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, we're in Exodus, and we've been there for a while. And I think this is our, fourth installment on the Ten Commandments, third installment, something like that. But we seek to finish. We've just got two commandments. Ought to be able to get two commandments in. Ought to be able to finish two commandments. Don't you think, Trevor? Two commandments. Dad ought to be able to do that. Long-winded, you try to lift up every stone and get every little nugget of truth. But even with that said, two commandments, we ought to be able to get that done. So we're looking at Exodus 20, and I don't mind reading the Ten Commandments. What a beautiful covenant of God's love and His care and concern for His people. So we'll read Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. And next week, of course, we'll be on a different passage than this, but this will be a good thing to get to read it again. Beginning in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, "Then God spoke all these words, saying, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Remember, that's an introductory material as we get into this suzerainty covenant. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the water, under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. And what we cover tonight, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We cover those last two commandments tonight. Verse 18 says, all the people perceive the thunder and the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we'll listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of Him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we are so thankful for these Ten Commandments, and we're thankful for how they translate, and Lord, how we see them popping up in different places in the Word of God, certainly in the New Testament. Certainly we see many of these things show up in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. And Lord, we're just thankful for how these truths are not just here, but they are applied. And Lord, they just go through the rest of the Word. And Lord, they just help us live as we should. And Lord, just help us be the people of God and help us, Lord, help us give a testimony as we live of who we belong to and how we ought to act. And Lord, we just thank you tonight for them. And Lord, as we finish up the Ten Commandments, I pray that we would have a better appreciation for what they mean and for what they're trying to tell each and every one of us. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right, so an overview of the commandments. Now, I just read them, but I'll just give you the bullet commandments. You know how they go. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother is number 5. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. And we begin tonight with number 9. Number 9, I shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The balance of verse 16. The 9th commandment, as we look at it and study it, the 9th commandment uses legal language. It's kind of a legality thing here. Legal language having to do with testimony in a court of law. But as we begin to delve deeper into it and look at the truth of this commandment, it goes far beyond just the courts. The 9th commandment requires us to tell the truth all the time. Tell the truth at all times. And that's a big ask, right? That's a big ask. Jesus said we are to let our yes, what? Be yes, and our no, be no. That's right. Matthew 5:37, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. So as we think about the 9th commandment, the 9th commandment can be applied based on its truth to forbid all forms of slander, all forms of gossip, all forms of idle talk, all forms of deliberate exaggerations, all forms of distortions of the truth. And the Bible, I mean, we don't just have it here in Exodus 20. You find this truth throughout the Word of God. The Bible tells us in many places to put off lies and to be truthful instead. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, Therefore laying aside falsehood, Ephesians 4:25, speak truth each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When we think about speaking truth, I said it's a huge ask, you know, to do that all the time, right? Speaking truth sometimes is not easy. It's difficult sometimes to speak the truth. In fact, this is one of the hardest of all the commandments, to speak the truth at all times. Some of the other commandments are crystal clear for us. We know what we should and should not do based on how the commandment is stated. But telling the truth at all times is hard for several reasons. And are there exceptions? Are there ethical dilemmas? Yes, there are. In some situations, telling a lie, or at least modifying the truth, seems almost necessary. You say, why is that, Pastor? Well, because we tell the truth, we might hurt another person, right? That's where the dilemma and the ethical nature lies. In other situations, telling the truth seems almost impossible. I take you way back to World War II, but Corrie ten Boom, in her account of life in Holland, and then in a concentration camp during World War II, she describes, before she gets to the concentration camp, she describes how the Nazis were forcefully enlisting young Dutch men, young Dutch gentlemen, into the German army. I mean, they were going after teenagers. I mean, they were trying to get them as young as they could get them. When the Nazi soldiers began scouring and searching Corrie ten Boom's neighborhood in, get this, Harlem, Holland, searching for anyone that they might have missed, Corrie and several cousins quickly got two young Dutch men through a trap door in an enlarged potato cellar and covered the trap door with a rug and pulled the dining table onto the rug and draped a long hanging tablecloth over the table. Well, the Nazis, they didn't knock. They just simply stormed into the house, demanding to know the location of any young Dutch men in the family. Well, Corrie's niece, taught from the Bible to always tell the truth, she blurted out, "They're under the table!" In the mercy of God, the Nazi officer did not believe his seemingly too honest admission. He barely looked under the low-hanging tablecloth and soon left the house with his men. For the moment, the young men were safe, though Corrie and her family debated hotly that evening the principle of always telling the truth. Now, most of us do not have to face such wrenching and difficult decisions in the area of maintaining truthfulness. Now, some of us do, but most of us don't. Ephesians 4:15 says, given a little application here, Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." If you think about telling the truth, there's also the problem of knowing how to separate the truth from falsehood in many gray areas and gray situations that we come across. It's difficult sometimes. What really is the truth? You're right. You know, you've got this person telling you one thing, and you got this person over here telling you another thing, and they both claim to be telling the truth. So here you have this gray area. You have this situation where you're trying to discern and figure it out. And going back to the courts for just a moment, we have whole systems of law to sift out the truth from conflicting evidence given in court. And what do you have? Well, you have people that are admonished to tell the truth. You know, place your hand on the Bible and raise your other hand. And place your left hand on the Bible, raise your right hand. Repeat after me to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen? However, in a court of law, what do you have? You have lawyers that get to cross-examine, right? Cross-examine. You got to have cross-examination. That's required sometimes to get down into, to find the real light, to find the truth, to bring the truth into the light. Difficult. Commandment 9, difficult. As we think about the ninth commandment and the challenge of it, what are some things you can do? What are some things I can do? What are some things we can do to undergird ourselves, equipping ourselves to tell the truth? I'll give you a few. We have to fill our heads with the Word of God. If you want to speak truth, you better have truth going into you. You better have truth going into you. That is what's so scary today. So scary. Because you can turn on the YouTube and you can turn on this news outlet or that news outlet, and man, the way they spin the information, the way they talk about what they're talking about, you're thinking, man, they're telling the truth. They may or may not be telling the truth. They may or may not be telling the truth. Everything you see on TV is not what? True. Everything you click on the YouTube channel and somebody just swears up and down it's true is not true, right? But for you, if you want to have a focus in your life of telling the truth, you need to fill your head, not with conspiracies, but you need to fill your head with the Bible's teaching. The Bible's teaching. Because the Bible's the only source of absolute truth. Now, I know there's some people out there that think they're the only ones that tell the truth. But the Bible really is the only source of absolute truth. So we must focus our hearts. We must focus our minds on God and His glory. We must fill our heads with God's Word, focus our hearts and minds on God and His glory, and we must love Jesus Christ. You want to be a truth teller? Love Jesus Christ. Jesus told the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Think that through. If you're focused on God's glory, if you're loving your Savior, right? You're filling your heart and your head with the Word of God. What's going to happen to you? You're going to be a less selfish person, aren't you? Yeah. A lot of times when we twist things around, it's out of selfishness. A lot of times when we bend the truth and are not real honest, it's because we are focused on ourselves, right? But if we'll fill our heads and our hearts with the Word of God, if we'll love Jesus, if we'll focus on God and His glory, that gets our focus, that gets our while we're living, that gets it off of us and gets it about Him. See, if your mind is focused on yourself, you're going to distort the what? You're going to distort the truth to your own advantage. But if your mind is focused on Jesus Christ, if your goal is the glory of God, and if you're feeding on the Scriptures, then you will be growing in this difficult area, learning to speak and act according to the truth as Jesus Christ Himself did. Commandment number 9 is hard. It's a big ask, but it is doable through the Word of God, power of the Holy Spirit, submission to Christ, love for Jesus, all these things that we talked about, right? That's commandment number 9. So you're just hitting the high point. We can't spend the whole time on it. So let's think about the last one. You shall not covet. And then it tells you, it goes into detail. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, male servant or his female, or his ox or his donkey, anything that belongs to you shall not covet, right? That's it, verse 17. The 10th commandment. If the 9th commandment is the hardest, the 10th commandment is perhaps the most revealing. The 10th commandment. And it's the most devastating of all, revealing and devastating at the same time, of all of the commandments, because it has to do with the inner attitude of the heart, right? That's what the 10th commandment's dealing with. Now, as we have seen in our previous Bible studies looking at these 10 commandments, Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus do? We've already preached through that material in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus would take commandments that on the surface seem to deal with a concrete action, and then he would relate them to the underlying attitude of the heart. Well, Jesus doesn't have to do that here because the 10th commandment deals with, in this passage, coveting is about a sinful attitude from the very beginning. A sinful attitude from the very beginning. This commandment strikes at the heart of our materialist Western culture. This is why we don't, you know, hey man, we'll deal with the first 9 commandments. But boy, you know, you go diving into that 10th commandment, my goodness, you're messing with the very Western culture we're living in, right? Mass marketing is meant to make us dissatisfied with what we have and covetous for what we do not have, right? That's what mass marketing is about. However, we should also understand that when God tells us not to covet, He doesn't mean, try to get this through, try to think this out. We should also understand that when God tells us not to covet, He does not mean that we are not to improve our standard in life. And He's not telling us not to improve our standard in life. He does not mean that we're not to work hard or enjoy the things and relationships that we have. He's not telling us not to do that. No. This attitudinal sin of coveting happens when we're dissatisfied with what we have because somebody else has more. Perhaps it's a portrayal of somebody in a commercial. They've got more. Perhaps it's the neighbor down the street. They got more. Perhaps it's the church member I'm sitting next to. They've got more. I mean, when we want what they got because we're dissatisfied with what God's given us, that is the sin of coveting. We covet when we want what another person has, including another person's husband or another person's wife or another person's possessions or another person's house or another person's car or whatever it may be. We covet when we are willing to do whatever it takes to get that object, to do whatever it takes to get that position, to do whatever it takes to get that honor, to do whatever it takes to get that person. So you may be thinking tonight, you gave us some help on the Ninth Commandment. What is the antidote? What is the antidote then to this attitudinal sin of coveting, Pastor? I mean, is there anything out there? Well, instead of coveting, per Colossians chapter 3, 2, this is going to sound real familiar, what I just shared with you on the Ninth Commandment. Instead of coveting, per Colossians 3, 2, the Word of God says, set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, right? That will go a long way with helping you if you have a tendency to get in that attitudinal sin of coveting, right? Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Amen? All right. Very good. So, as we've covered all 10, what can we say about what we have learned from Exodus, let's say, somewhere in chapter 19 and taking it all the way through chapter 20, verse 21. What can we say about what we have learned from this swath of Bible passage, starting Exodus 19 and going through chapter 20, verse 21? I'll give you a few high points. We cannot study the moral law. You cannot study the moral law without being awakened to your own sin. You cannot study the moral law without being awakened to your own personal sin. You study the Ten Commandments, you're going to see the sin in your own life, right? You're going to see sin in your own life. We cannot read one commandment and say, well, you know, by golly, I kept that one. Woohoo! I kept that one. I broke nine, but I... You can't look at this and go, preacher, I'm telling you, I've kept two of them. There's nobody in this body, nobody in the body of Christ. There's nobody, friend. We have all broken each and every one of these commandments. Each and every. I've not murdered you. You thought about it. I've not committed adultery. You thought about it. We have all broken each and every one of these commandments. But as well as revealing to us the extent and seriousness of our failure, this is the beauty of the law, right? Don't leave yourself down there, you know, on the bottom side of your boots. Don't leave yourself down there. Because this is the beauty of the law. As well as revealing to us the extent and seriousness of our failure, the law also points us to Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's the beauty of the law. That's why we don't get rid of the law. That's why we take the Old Testament. That's why we take all of it. That's why we take the whole counsel of God. Because this section points us to Jesus. The other section says, here is Jesus, right? The other section says, Jesus saves, right? So we take it all. It's a package deal. See, at the same time that God gave the moral law on Mount Sinai, He also gave the ceremonial law. Moral law, ceremonial law, which centered on instructions for building the tabernacle and then later, which would be the temple, right? everything in the tabernacle pointed to what Jesus Christ would do when he came to be our Savior. This is the beauty of all this stuff tonight. God was saying, this is the law. This is the law. You have to live by this, these Ten Commandments. But if you do not live by this law, and by the way, I know you're not going to live by this law because I'm sovereign. I'm a sovereign God. Then what you need is a Savior. As you know what God does? He sends one, right? He sends one. So the law sets forth the perfect standard of holiness revealed by our righteous God. But the law was only kept perfectly by one man, and you all know his name, Jesus Christ, right? That's the beauty of it. If we try to keep the law in our own strength, we're going to do what? You're going to fail over and over and over again. And if you think that keeping the law is going to earn you a spot in heaven, the law is powerless to make us righteous. It doesn't do that. In Romans chapter 8, Paul states emphatically what the law does do, which is to convince us beyond any argument of our desperate need of a Savior. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 4 says, Romans 8, 3 through 4, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So the only way you're going to give God a hallowed, holy life is by the Spirit, is by His Word, right? And you still won't do it perfectly because you've already sinned in the past. Can you get better with the Ten Commandments? You can get better, but as you get better, you got to be careful of the pride of knowing that you're getting better. And so you've got to have that Holy Spirit. You've got to have that Word of God going in you. You've got to have that continual ebb of flow of Word and prayer and relationship to keep you centered and keep you grounded so that you can live out the Ten Commandments without being judgmental, without being cynical, without being just miserable to be around, right? Because you're keeping 8 of the 10 and your neighbor's only keeping 2 of the 10, or somebody over here is only keeping half of one of the ten. You understand what I'm saying? So you really gotta seek the Lord here and allow the Holy Spirit to do this through you. So as we get ready to lay it down tonight and put it away for tonight, these Ten Commandments in this passage, ask yourself, those of you at home, and those of you here with us this evening, ask yourself, what has this multi-week study on chapter 19, where we started seeing the giving of the Ten Commandments all the way through chapter 20 through 21, what has this multi-week study on this big swath of Scripture, what has it revealed to me about my sin? What has it revealed to me about my sin, right? What has it revealed to you about your sin, right? Has these last Bible studies, have you felt being more drawn and pointed towards Jesus Christ because your sin has been made more aware to you? And so, well, I know who I can take my sin to. And so, has these last Bible studies pointed you more to Jesus Christ? Are you looking to Him? Are you looking to Christ as the one who has fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law in your place? I mean, think about that, friend. The law has got to be fulfilled. It's got to be fulfilled. It's God's law, right? It's got to be fulfilled. One person fulfilled it. And man, He'll save you if you'll let Him, right? And if you are saved, what an opportunity to worship God, because He's sent a Savior to fulfill the law that you could not fulfill. He sent a Savior to keep the law that you could not keep. He sent a Savior to die on a cross to take care of your sin because you broke the law, right? I know it's kind of a circular thing, and I don't want to get bogged down in all the circularness of it, but am I trusting Him as my Savior? As you think about this stuff, are you trusting in yourself, right? Are you trusting in something else? Am I looking to Him for forgiveness and cleansing? I mean, as you think about these Ten Commandments and think about where, you know, hey, whoa, man, yeah, man, are you looking to Him for forgiveness and cleansing, right? Don't look to me. Don't look to your neighbor. Look to Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing. Is my desire today to be holy even as God is holy? Boy, there's been a lot of crazy stuff come out of the church through the years. I guess probably 2020, 40, 50 years ago, there was the movement where you basically went like, well, you know, if I've got Jesus in me and Jesus gives grace and grace covers my sin, well, then I guess I can just do whatever I want to in my body. Because Jesus in me, that grace, is going to cover that sin. It was kind of a license to sin, right? And then, you know, some theologians, good preachers, finally got tired of hearing all that. They dealt with that, got that all put to bed and done away with. And then it just recycles. It just recycles. Well, you know, God is holy. And if I'm saved, I've got Jesus in me, and Jesus is holy. So, man, I'm holy. I'm holy. When the Bible says I need to live a holy life and I need to practice holiness, well, it's saying I need to be saved. And I'm telling you, I'm saved. I'm holy. But not living holy. Again, living like I want to live, but claiming that holy card on Sunday morning, right? Total disconnect of what the Bible teaches, right? And then, you know, you have some good Bible preachers, some good theologians. They get tired of hearing that. They take a stand, preach, and try to get that worked out of the church. And it goes to the fringes, but most of the mainline churches figure it out. They don't jive with the Bible. And then you got the next one. And the next one is that, you know, God, all God wants from me, all God wants from me is for me to love Him. And to love people, to love God and love people. Friend, that is not the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To say that all God wants from me is for me to love Him and to love people, that's a pittance. That's a pittance. I mean, you think about our culture and how they define love. That's a joke. That's a joke. But you can make a contemporary Christian song about it, make a real catchy tune, and put it to a Christian music video, and it'll make a lot of money because it speaks to people's wants and needs to want to water down the Bible and to not do what God's commanded us to do, which is to live a holy, hallowed life. Right? So good Bible teachers and theologians, they get tired of hearing that and they say, nope. You know, the song says, go back to ground zero. I'm not even going to mention the guy that sings the song. You all know him if you listen to KSBJ. Go on back to ground. You know where ground zero is? Ground zero will be the Word of God. Ground zero will be these Ten Commandments, right? Yeah, God wants me to love Him with all my heart, my soul, and my strength. And He wants me to love my neighbor as myself. But you know what that translates into? That translates into that my life is going to be a testimony on some level of holiness. That's what it means. You know, talks about in the song, checking all the boxes. Well, friend, you don't have to check the boxes. You just need to read the Word. Just read the Word, pray it through, right? Leave the box checking somewhere else. Love the Lord. Love people. But man, you better get the rest of the Bible in there with the rest of that. Or you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be like the folks of the late 70s and early 80s with a license to sin. And you're going to be like the folks of the 90s into the 2000s that I mentioned, holiness. Well, I've got holiness in me because I'm saved, but again, I'm going to live the way I want to live. Sin. And if you keep going on with the popular culture and some of the Christian contemporary popular culture, and you let that be your sole influence and not this, you're going to be... be way short. You're going to be way, way short. Way, way short of missing heaven? No. You'll make heaven if you're saved. But friend, you will have missed the life that God has paid for with Jesus' blood for. You will have missed that life. You will have totally missed it. Right? Don't miss it. Take the life, the abundant life, right? But the abundant life takes that, right? More than just love God, love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and love others as yourself. That takes 10 commandments and condenses it down to 2, but boy, what a challenge. Amen? What a challenge. Is that to earn my salvation? Not to earn your salvation. It's because you are saved, right? You're going to do that because you are saved, because you are heaven bound. Amen? All right, before we get to the next message, we'll close it out. Because it's 8:05. How about that? Yay! Amen! He's off the soapbox. Let me get off of it. We'll have a closing word of prayer. Amen? All right, you guys have a blessed evening, and we will see you back here live in person Sunday morning at 10:45. That's going to be great. Hope you can make it. If you can't make it, we understand, we'll be on the live stream, but hope you'll come see us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for all that you do, Lord. Thank you for how you bless and for how you challenge and for how you direct and for how you lead us. And Lord, we seek to be a holy people. We know we can't be a perfect people, but Lord, we can be a better people, and we seek to be a better people. We seek to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and we seek to love that neighbor as ourself. Lord, that's a tall order. That's a big ask. But Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, oh, all things are possible. You do it through us, not by our own strength, but by your might in us. So Lord, may we seek to lean on your strength and seek to tap into your strength as we get into the Word of God and as we pray. May the Holy Spirit just come alive in us and lead us through our lives, and lead us as we deal with people, and lead us as we seek to sow the seeds of the gospel, and lead us, Lord, as we just seek to be those kingdom citizens left here on earth, pointing people to you. Thank you that we have the opportunity to do that, that we can do that. Lord, give us a love to do that, and Lord, may we continue to rest in who you are. Give us safety as we depart this place, Lord. We look forward to a safe, COVID-free first service back this September the 6th. Lord, be with those that are on the fence about coming or staying home. And Lord, we just pray you give each family, each individual, you give them the wisdom and discernment that they need to decide for themselves and their family on what they need to do this Sunday. But Lord, we pray there be some folks show up, and that, Lord, we can just have that sense of Christian fellowship, that sense of being washed by the Word corporately and together. And, Lord, we just want to bring glory and honor to your name as we do it. It's in your name we pray. Everyone said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10:45. Y'all be good. Sunday school literature, don't forget. Financials going out Sunday. Sunday school literature. Sunday school starts the 13th. Don't forget. Hope you got it. Take care.